The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good work." We believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and that it does give us instruction, and that it gives us everything that we need in order to have the kind of life that's the best kind of life. Godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Whenever we look at the Scriptures, we find a lot of examples about how we should live. And that's what we want to do this morning, is look at an example. Actually, we're going to start with one example and end with a very similar example from Scripture. And these are passages that I think are familiar to most of you. As a matter of fact, it hasn't been very long since we used these passages in a scripture or in a lesson, but I went in a different direction that time. It's just a different kind of lesson. Our text is from Deuteronomy chapter 31. We're going to read the first 8 verses. "Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel, and he said to them, 'I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you will dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord had said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites and their land, when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes before you. He will not leave you nor forsake you.' Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, 'In the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed.'" Have you ever tried to put yourself in the shoes of these people? Here they are. They have been brought out of Egypt, and they have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And the whole generation of those 20 and above have perished in the wilderness. And you have a new generation of people. People who, for the most part, do not remember the signs that God did in Egypt in order to get them to come out of that bondage, did see many of the signs that the Lord performed for them in the wilderness, how that he took care of them, fed them, gave them water, how that he delivered them, as Moses here speaks, before the Amorites and those that tried to stop them from entering into the land of Canaan, those of Edom and others. And how that they knew God was with them, but yet here they are, about to go into a land that 40 years previous, 10 of 12 men who had gone in to spy out the land told them that the land was full of great walled cities and giants and great warriors. And these were a people that did not know war. They did not know, they had not practiced battle tactics. They did not have the great armor and the great weapons of war that the people in the land of Canaan had. And yet they had been given the mandate to go in there and drive those people out of the land and take possession of the land. How are they going to do this? And you had to know they had some trepidation. You had to know that there was some fear there and some concern about whether or not they would be able to succeed. And that's why this speech was given to them. Moses said, God will be the one to go before you. God will give you the victory. God will deliver you. And they had to rely upon this God whom they had not seen. They had seen, like I said, many signs that he performed for them through Moses. But Moses now is about to leave them. He's not going to be able to go into the land with them. So now they have to rely upon this young upstart, as it were, Joshua, to lead them into the land. And they're not going to have Moses, this great father figure, over them. They're not going to have them with him anymore. And so these words of encouragement. These words of encouragement are just as appropriate today as they were then. You and I are living a life of stepping out by faith into a world in which the world is saying, giving us one message and God is giving us another message. And we have to accept by faith that God truly is giving us instruction that is best for us in this life. And we have to eschew, we have to put away the wisdom that is so prevalent in our world today, the wisdom of men, that is telling us that this is the kind of life that you need to live. You need to be able to live a life of self-fulfillment. You need to live a life that brings you whatever makes you happy. You need to go out and do it. And yet we see the failure of this philosophy on the right hand and on the left. We see the failure of this philosophy in people's lives where they are absolutely miserable while they are out there doing the things that they think makes them happy. And God challenges them to live a life of self-control, a life of temperance, a life of living according to His teachings, if you will, His rules for life, which goes so often contrary to what we want. And like little children being instructed and taught by our parents, we often think that our parents are dull-witted and they have no idea what it's like to be young today. And we won't listen to their advice. And we go our own way. And then as we grow older, we find out, boy, Mom and Dad was a lot smarter than I thought they were. And that's the kind of instruction that God gives us. We're like little children, and we think we know better. But on every hand, in every step of life, if we will compare the teachings of God with the way that we're living, we find out He was right all along, and we were wrong. So this text, Moses is giving instruction to Israel. As we said, he knew he was no longer going to lead them. He tells them that they have the strength and guidance that is beyond men. Moses was simply God's instrument for leadership. Moses had no power in and of himself, and that was something that they had to put out of their minds, was that they could succeed without Moses. And they would be able to trust and rely upon God to be their leader through Joshua. Now, as we said, there's natural times in life that we feel weak and in need of strength and guidance. And, of course, God, as we've advocated already, gives us the strength and the promises of God in His instruction for life. So we're going to take this, what God said through Moses to the people of Israel, and we're going to apply it to ourselves. Going to take that those instructions that he gave. First of all, he says, be strong. Be strong. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul wrote, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, it would be appropriate for us anytime to go on and study what Paul wrote following these verses about putting on the armor that God has given us to succeed. But what I want to do this morning is simply focus on what Paul says about how that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what Israel had to rely upon as they went into Canaan. They had to rely upon Jehovah God to be their strength, to be their power. And you and I have to do the same thing. We cannot do it on our own. We have to rely upon the strength that God gives to us. And faith in God's way is the key. I've got to have faith that what God teaches, the things that we've been saying about His instruction in life, I have to have faith that that is true. In order to step in the way that He wants me to go, in order to follow the pathway of life that He teaches, I have to have faith enough in what He says that is the best life for me. Even though, as we stated, it goes contrary to what I want and to what I think is best for me. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 11 gives us examples of people who walked by faith. Talked about Noah. Talked about Abraham. Talked about Moses. And how that these are all people who lived by faith. And he goes on to talk about those that were deliverers and kings in Israel. Let's begin reading it, verse 30 of Hebrews 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. This is the result of the children of Israel going into the land of Canaan and doing what God told them to do. And what was it? A week or so ago, we talked about... maybe that was in a gospel meeting. Talked about how that marching around those walls gave them a victory against common sense. Against every reasonable thing that we would think of in how we would overcome and overtake a city, a great walled city. As I said, they had no great weapons of war. They had no way to penetrate those walls. They didn't have any what they call them, paraports or anything like that to throw great masses of rocks against the walls to make them crumble. They simply were told to march around it, and it would fall. So it was by faith that this happened. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. She, of course, was a survivor of that Jericho victory. And what more shall I say, the writer says, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. And when you read this, we read about the great victories that they had. And sometimes we think that if we will just believe and trust in God, we'll be like them. Everything will be a victory in life. But we got to keep reading. And you see it here before you. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still other had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And so when you read about these people, that how these great victories and everything, and then you read there were some whose life was not so great. Those who were tortured for their faith. Those who had to escape persecution, living in caves. Those who saw their loved ones slain before them. And they had to be crying out, God, where are you? Where is your deliverance? But they never gave up their faith. What's the message? Well, have you ever heard anybody say that life has its ups and downs? Sometimes you're on top and, you know, on top of the mountain, and sometimes you're in the deepest valley. You can't even see the sunshine because the mountains are just shading you. You can't even see any light. You get at the height of victory, and then you go to the valleys of defeat. That's life. And the question is, how do you deal with those things? The Hebrew writer is telling us, you deal with it through faith that God is still with you. You are the one that has to be strong, particularly when you're in the valley. That's when you have to be strong. That's when you cannot give up. That's when you have to trust that God will yet take you to the mountaintop. Secondly, be courageous. Face those adversities with courage. Do you know what courage is? Courage is action in the face of fear. Having courage does not mean you do not have fear. Having courage does not mean you're not afraid. Courage is action in the face of fear. Memorial Day is coming up. There will be many stories told about heroic actions in war. People who have done some heroic things in the face of the enemy, in the face of enemy fire, in order to take a particular bunker or in order to save a friend's life or what have you. There's these great acts of heroism and courage. But you have to know that those soldiers that gave their lives in those situations or even survived. The survivors tell us, oh yeah, I was afraid. I was scared to death. But I knew something had to be done. And so they had an act of courage. Courage does not mean the absence of fear. And the instruction, the encouragement that they were giving was, as you go into this land, you've got to have courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid. But they were. They had to exercise courage. Courage comes from determination. From a determination to do what needs to be done in the face of fear. Psalm 31, verse 24, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So, courage is to get strength in the heart. Again, that determination, that's what the idea of strength in your heart is. You get determination to do what needs to be done in the face of the fear. And it doesn't matter how much physical strength you may have. Courage, without courage, physical strength is useless. A while ago, the Hebrew writer mentioned Gideon. And Gideon's a great example of that. Gideon, enemy has come against, they have invaded into the land against Israel, and Gideon has put together a force to stand up against them. He put together 32,000 men willing to fight against this enemy. Now, the enemy was greater than 32,000. As a matter of fact, the scripture says there in Judges 6 that they were innumerable. This invading force was innumerable. But 32,000, that sounds like a lot of people, you know. I mean, really, pretty good sized little army. And so they get together, and he gets together 32,000, and God says, actually, you've got too many. I don't want you to think that you've won this battle because of your strength, because of your numbers. I want you to send home everyone who is afraid and does not have courage. And so he does. He sends home 22,000. Now that's two-thirds of his army. 22,000 out of the 32,000 that he had, they admitted, I'm scared to death. Well, if you're scared, you can go home. 22,000 says, bye, and they leave. Now he's left with 10,000. And God says, Gideon, that's still too many. So he gives him another way to winnow them out, and that is the way that they would drink from a stream, whether they'd get down and lap like a dog or they'd scoop it up with their hand. And he says, these you keep, and out of that 10,000, 300 were chosen. 300. Now they were 32,000, and now they're 300, and they're going to go against an army that is innumerable. And they go and they win the battle. Because they had courage. Courage that God was with them and God would give them the victory. The Hebrew writer wrote in chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, therefore strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Do you know what defeats us more than anything? Is self-pity. I feel sorry for me. I'm down here in the valley. Can't see the sunshine. There's nothing good going on. There's whatever it is that's plaguing you. Maybe it's physical ailments, physical pains, financial, family related. Whatever it may be, the list is so long. And every individual in here has their own list. We all have our challenges. Every one of us. And the question is, do we feel sorry for ourselves? Or do we, in the words of the Hebrew writer, strengthen the hands that hang down? And that's what he's depicting here. Oh, poor, oh, pitiful me. The Hebrew writer says, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees that are knocking. Make straight paths for your feet. Get on the road. Get going the right direction. And what is lame, so that what is lame is not completely lost, dislocated, but rather to be healed. Pick yourself up. Get back on the path. Get back on the road. Don't feel sorry for yourself. It takes courage. And it takes courage to do the right thing. It takes courage to do what God teaches us to do. Joshua 23:6, therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand and to the left. Do not be deceived. It does take courage to serve God and do the right thing. You may think you can't do it. You may fear that you'll fail. But it's by courage that you'll face the adversary and charge in and get it done. And thirdly, know that God is with you. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness, but be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This addresses physical things, doesn't it? Physical necessities, but also physical wants. Don't become covetous. Don't want things that you don't need. Be content with what you have. Why? Because God has promised you the necessities of life. When Jesus taught that parable about how that God is feeding the birds of the air and the flowers of the field are arrayed greater than Solomon in all his glory. He says, don't you know that God's going to take care of you? You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. As Jesus, we have recorded Matthew 6:33. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Jesus' promise when He gave the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know what that is? To the end of time, to the end of His kingdom upon the earth, He is going to be with us. This promise extends to us. We are among those that benefited from the message that the apostles took to the world. And we continue to take that very same message to the world. And the promise is always there. I am with you. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We have often explained and talked about this verse. Sometimes people take false hope in this verse. This verse is talking about people who love God. That is the first and the great commandment. To put God first in your life, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all things work together for good. These things will be added to you. And once again, what God knows is for my best is not always necessarily what I think is for my best. We are called to one purpose, and that's to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You were created to be saved, not to be lost. And God will do whatever He needs to do to give you the opportunity to do just that, to be saved and not to be lost. But He always gives us the choice. And that was what Joshua told the people when they went into the land of Canaan and they received it. You choose today who you're going to serve. They still had the choice. And we still have the choice. But one of God's precious promises is that He will not leave you nor forsake you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called you by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is a precious and exceedingly great promise. Don't ever forgive it. Forget it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even in that valley, that dark, dank valley, when you can see no light, you can see no way out, He is there with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you die in that valley, then you go to the mountain of the Lord's house in that eternal kingdom where you live forever and ever. And there's no more pain and no more sorrow and no more tears, no more valleys, eternal life. So we said we would start with one and end with another, and this is Joshua. But this time, Moses addressed the people. This is what God told Moses to tell the people. Now God's going to tell Joshua personally. Joshua 9 in the first 9 verses, and then the lesson will be yours. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I could have just got up here this morning and just read this and said amen and sit down. God's promise remains the same for those who will do His will. Let me read a couple of scriptures. 1 John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. 1 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You've got a choice to make. Do it God's way or do it your way. You do it God's way, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. You do it your way, you'll forever be in the valley. God's instruction for living are contained in the heart of faith. You have to walk by faith and not by sight. We can have the strength, the courage, and the knowledge that God is with us. He will not fail us nor leave us if we will but believe His promises. Sometimes people say, I would become a Christian, but I'm afraid I can't live it. You just don't believe enough. You don't have faith. Because God said you can live it. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can do it. You just have to have the courage and the determination to do it. Today we offer you the invitation, the opportunity. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to make Him the Lord of your life by repenting of sin, why not this morning confess that faith before this audience, be immersed in the waters of baptism and raised to a new life, put on Jesus Christ, and in Him you'll have the strength. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You can do it. You need to have the courage to step up right now as we stand and sing. Come forward.